It's time now for Heart to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. Did you hear that weather report? 76. So, you know, it's really nice and warm out there this morning. So if you're one of those people that just can't say goodbye to summertime, this is the perfect morning for you because it is warm and steamy. So take advantage of it because it's going to get cooler after that rain goes through. But the leaves are so pretty now. It's my favorite month of the year, October, probably because that's my birthday month, too. So get out there and start to see all that beautiful color. And in fact, this is my birthday week. So at our house, you know, we don't just have a birthday. We have a birthday week. And so with five dogs and two of us, that's a lot of birthday weeks in the year. So that means all kinds of good things like French toast for breakfast, special dinners, lots of yummy treats. So it's a good week here at our house. So anyway, this morning, I am so happy to have with me one of the people that I have been using for years to keep my health top-notch. And that is Lillian Morgan, who's an acupuncturist. And Lil made a midlife career change from law to acupuncture. So after 20 plus years, she was tired of arguing, she said. So we all know what lawyers do. They argue. And she wanted to focus her efforts on healing. So she had experienced acupuncture herself for back pain. And after four treatments, her back pain was gone. And she felt so centered, grounded, and whole and healthy after each treatment. She was amazed and also intrigued and decided to pursue that herself. She holds a master's degree in acupuncture from the Traditional Acupuncture Institute in Laurel, Maryland, where she has served on the academic and clinical faculty. She's taught ethics and traditional diagnosis and has also supervised students who are treating patients in the acupuncture school's clinic. So she loves to talk about the wonders of acupuncture, and that's exactly what we're going to be doing this morning. So welcome, Lil.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I love this because, in fact, I told her when she came in, you know, I need to make an appointment. I hope you have your calendar. So both Larry and I have used Lil for years, and not only for things that are wrong at the moment, but just also as a stay healthy, a preventive thing. And do you find that other people do that as well?
Yes, I would say that's the very best way to use acupuncture, is that if you can keep your body in balance, then you're less likely to fall sort of over the cliff and end up really sick. So that's how I handle it, too. Since I had my back issue and I discovered how smooth and clear I could feel after an acupuncture treatment, I have acupuncture maybe once every 6 weeks or so, just to keep that smooth, clear sense of myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the way I try to use it, too. And I often think about it because it did start in China. Is that correct?
Yes. It started in China, and it spread pretty quickly all over Asia. So there are Japanese forms and Korean forms and Vietnamese forms and Thai forms of acupuncture. It's been spreading around for over 4,000 years. So as you can imagine, there have been some variations invented along the way.
Yeah, but also if you've been using something for 4,000 years effectively, it obviously works.
It is it can be very effective.
Yeah.
It's not the thing for everyone,
right.
But it can be very effective if that's the path you choose.
Yeah. And you know, I think, isn't it the Chinese that the doctor gets paid if you stay well versus you get paid when you're sick?
That was a tradition in parts of China where the village acupuncturist's job was conceived to be keeping people healthy.
Right.
And so you sort of paid him to, or, you know, you made sure he stayed alive and was fed and all that while you were healthy. And then if you were sick, he just had to take care of you.
Yeah. I love that. Don't you love that concept? Somebody gets paid when you are healthy because that's what their job is to keep you healthy.
Right. I like that too.
It's a different concept of medicine than we have here.
It is. We have a tendency to wait until there's a big problem.
Right.
And then, you know, to treat the heck out of it. But it would be better to be more proactive and try to prevent problems by watching things like our diets and our exercise programs and, you know, our mental ways of tying ourselves up in knots.
Yeah, because as we all know, and it's been proven time and again, stress is one of the biggest factors in all kinds of illnesses that we have here.
And that's one of the places where I think acupuncture is most effective for modern Americans, is it's really very good at releasing the effects of stress on the body. Now, that doesn't mean that if you leave my office and go out and, you know, get all riled up about the traffic or something like that, that you're not going to bring it back on.
Right.
So we always try to talk about ways that you can extend the de-stressifying of the acupuncture treatment so that you can carry it on longer into your week or month.
Oh, you know, I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, it's so relaxing. And I know Larry falls asleep.
Mm-hmm. Many people do.
So, and I'm sure you all are out there saying, how can that be relaxing? Because isn't that involving needles?
Yeah, I think when we brought acupuncture to the West, to me, it was sort of a mistake to call the instruments we use needles.
What do they call them in the East?
Well, I don't know, some Chinese word that I'm not familiar
All
with.
Right.
But I mean, the things that we call needles in acupuncture are so slender, they're like filaments, really,
right,
more than
like a
IV needle.
Hair,
or
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
probably the girth of maybe three or four human hairs. If you think about getting your flu shot,
right,
you can fit probably 12 to 15 acupuncture needles inside one of those flu shot needles. Plus, in the flu shot, they're pushing fluids through the needle into your muscle. That's what really hurts.
Right.
And we don't push any fluids. We simply insert these tiny filaments to a shallow depth in the skin and let them do their work.
I like that. We'll call it filaments from now on.
Yeah.
I'm liking that because that's really more descriptive of what it is as well.
Yeah, I get people all the time who, you know, come to me and they say, I hate needles, I'm scared of needles, but I'm desperate. And usually after their first acupuncture needle, they're no longer afraid of acupuncture.
Right, because they're like, oh, was that it?
Right, exactly.
And sometimes you don't even feel it. Sometimes you do,
uh-huh,
but sometimes you don't even feel it at all.
That's true.
And depending where it's going, you know.
Well, and what day it is. Like, I find that, you know, it's a little bit unpredictable which points people will get a sensation on.
Oh, that's interesting.
And for myself, there's one point on my foot that my acupuncturists always want to do on me, and I hate it because it gives me quite a big sensation. So for a long time, I tried not to do it on anyone.
Uh-huh.
And then one day, I just felt I had to do it. It was the point this
it
person really needed.
It was the point that person needed.
So I did it. And he said, oh, did you do it yet? And I thought, oh, this is a lesson. Just because I hate this point doesn't mean everyone will hate this point. And you might hate a point today. Why do I say hate it? I mean, you feel a zing.
Yeah.
It doesn't last very long, but you're like, oof.
Yeah, yeah.
But you might not get that same sensation if I treat you next week.
Right.
In the
so,
same point.
So that is true. That's interesting. And it could have a lot to do with what's going on in your life that day.
Well, and I think what's going on in your body. I mean, we pick points
right,
precisely because, well, I guess at this point it would be good to back up and say.
Yes, let's talk about how points are found and what that whole system is with the meridians and what a meridian is.
Right. Acupuncture is based on the idea that everybody's body has a vital energy. The Chinese call it qi. So if you've heard of Tai Chi, that's an exercise program to help you manage your qi. It means great qi.
Mm-hmm.
And qi flows in your body in certain pathways, just like your blood flows in blood vessels. Your qi flows in qi vessels. We call them vessels or meridians or channels. The idea is it's a pathway that's predictable that qi is supposed to flow on. And the theory is if the qi is flowing everywhere it's supposed to go, then you feel well. And if it gets blocked or stuck and it's not flowing well, that's when you can have pain or other symptoms. So the classics in Chinese medicine, which were written in 800 BC or so,
wow,
say things like, where there is flow, there is no pain. Where there is pain, there is no flow. So my job as an acupuncturist is always to try to first assess how is your flow and where is it getting stuck. And second, to select the points that will change the flow in the stuck area so that you can get back to where there is flow, there is no pain.
Right. Now, assessing it, I know a lot of times when I come in, like you do a lot of things with pulses. Is that what you use mostly to assess?
Yes. If you remember your first appointment, we do a lot of different things. Pulses mm-hmm. are the things that we do pretty much every day and probably after every part of the treatment because the pulses on your wrist are seen differently in Chinese medicine than in Western medicine. We're not just counting beats per minute, although we are interested in the speed of your pulses. We also say that there are six pulses on each wrist. So we feel in three locations, and in each location we do a deeper pulse and a closer to the surface pulse. And those 12 pulses, six and six, represent the 12 main meridians or vessels of energy or qi in your body. So sometimes when I feel the pulses, one pulse will be really big and booming, and another pulse will be really small and weeny. And I'll say, that starts my brain thinking about where in the cycle could there be a block that this qi is not moving from A to B. And that's, you know, the learning is really about what the points do and when you use this point and when you use that point to change something. So then I would select points based on where I think the problem is in your flow.
Okay. You know, that's the first time I understood that, Lil, because in all these years, you know, you've taken my pulses, but I didn't understand the 12 different in how you were looking at six, you know.
Right.
You know,
your pulses reflect you, and they are the most, they are the quickest thing to change. So if I do a point on you and then I feel your pulses again, I can tell if the pulses have started to shift in the direction that I was hoping for.
Right. And I love that, too, because, you know, a lot of times people will think, well, how do you know if it's working? Well, you know it's working because you can check the pulses.
Yeah, that's one of the ways that I know, but also you know by how you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I can also see things like I have one client in particular who comes in and her jaw is always tense. And when I do some of the correct points on her, I can just watch her jaw go slack.
Oh, interesting.
You know, so we get little
visual
indications
clues.
Too,
yeah.
In terms of shifts in tension. The person's eyes may change. You know, the color that shines off their face may change a little. So there are lots of indications.
Yeah, I know, and I've actually had acupuncture on my dogs as well, and I know that acupuncturists would always look at their tongues.
Yes, and in human acupuncture, we look at tongues, too. Tongues don't change as fast as pulses. That's why we don't look at them as often. But they also give clues. I like to say to my clients that when I do a physical exam, I do the pulses and I look at the tongue and I may do some abdominal palpation. I will examine any painful areas I'm feeling for temperature, you know, swelling, that sort of thing. And I consider both the interview I do with the client about their history and the exam as a search for jigsaw puzzle pieces that I try to put together to understand how is the flow and where is it getting stuck.
And I also think that, again, it's more holistic because I know when, as you're doing that interview, you're not just talking about exactly how they feel, but you're talking about what's going on in their life.
Yes. In Chinese medicine, we use a word run all together, body, mind, spirit.
Okay.
Talking about the human organism, that it's all, they're all inextricably entwined. So it's quite different from Western medicine where you see a psychiatrist for your mental health problems and you see a internist for your stomach and you see a, you know, a neurologist for your back pain or whatever.
Right, right.
So we think that everything affects everything else and that often things show up in a pattern, that where something goes awry, something else is likely to follow that. So part of our, you may come, for example, ankle pain. And I love this story. This is my very first client I ever saw as an acupuncturist.
Okay.
I was just a beginning student in the clinic. And my client came for heel pain. She had, according to her orthopedic surgeon, she had shredded her Achilles tendons, you know, on the back of the heel. And she couldn't wear any of her favorite shoes. Doing steps at all hurt. She liked to be active and she, like, could hardly walk. And I was in school, we did it very fundamentally. We were really focused on the fundamentals. So we assessed her overall qi flow, and we did points to improve her qi flow. And we did that for several treatments. And after three treatments, her heel swelling went down. I never touched her heels. After four treatments, her heel pain was gone.
Wow.
All I did was try to improve her flow.
Wow.
And after five treatments, she said, and you know, I don't have road rage anymore.
Oh my gosh. And like that never even came up. And like,
exactly.
But she recognized it as road rage.
And even later than that, she said to me, you know, I never told you this, but I haven't slept well since my children were born. She was in her 60s when she came to see me. But I'm sleeping now.
Wow.
So when you can get your flow smoothed out, everything goes better. You know?
Yeah, I love that. Isn't that interesting, though, and things that don't come up because, you know, we don't think about sharing some of those things with people when we're having some sort of medical issue because we think they're not connected.
Well, and in the Western model, you might not get a good listening for that either in the sense that, you know, if you had heel pain, they'd have a checklist about heels that they would be going through, and they wouldn't really be interested in those other things.
Right.
But that's one of the things about acupuncture and Chinese medicine that's different, that we take the person as a whole and we think of their parts as being inextricably related to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's the same thing. Every medical tradition has their checklists.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, you know, so like you may go to an orthopedic person and he has his heel pain checklist, even if it's in his mind, mm-hmm. you know, what to check off to, if it's not that, it could be this, and you go through the list. So it's interesting.
Right. Well, and I think one of the things that we have to offer that's most helpful to Americans is I often get people who are at their wit's end. They've been to this specialist and that specialist and the other specialist, and each one says, there's nothing I can do for you. Or, mm-hmm. you know, basically, I went through my checklist. There's nothing on my list for you.
Right.
So people who sort of fall through the cracks are often benefited by acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about the meridians, because I don't know if anybody has ever seen those charts, but they're like little maps of the human body, and I find it so interesting to see those.
Yes, they are. There are 12 regular meridians. We have some other special ones, but we'll stick with the 12 main ones for today, I guess. Six of them go to the arms.
Okay.
And six of them go to the legs. And six of them go to the head. Seven of them go to the head, actually. Yeah. And they all connect with internal organs as well as going along the surface of the body.
Okay.
We don't normally needle them where they are in the internal organs. We needle them where they're superficial, where they're on the arms or legs or trunk.
Right, because that opens that path to that organ.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And how did the Chinese come up with these things? This was way before there were things like MRIs. And I don't even know if those show up on anything now because it's an energy pathway.
Well, you know, it's very mysterious. No one really knows how they came up with it. I know one of my assignments in school, we once had an assignment to write a myth about how they discovered it, you know, to guess. And people came up with all sorts of ideas.
Well, that would just be a fun
But interestingly, the modern assessment, they can tell, for example, that acupuncture points conduct electricity differently than non-acupuncture points on the body.
Okay.
And there have been some, I can't remember if it's MRI or some PET scans or something, you know, mm-hmm. some of the fancy scanning things can actually show the activation of acupuncture meridians.
It's funny. I'm getting this image in my mind of somebody scanning your body with a voltmeter.
I once heard a fellow speak who was he was a physicist who was a specialist in MRIs. He helped to create the first MRIs. And he was from the University of California somewhere, I think. And he went to acupuncture for back pain. And it worked, and it just mystified the heck out of him.
Oh,
so he started to study it. And one of the things he did is he did a study where he put a bunch of people in a room and he flashed lights at them while he did MRIs of their brain. And as he expected, the visual part of the brain lit up as mm-hmm. the lights were flashed and their eyes reacted. Then he had trained acupuncturists do a point on the toe that is traditionally associated with vision while he did MRIs of the brains of the people. And guess what? The visual cortex lit up.
Wow.
And the part that he thought was most fascinating was that the second trip happened faster than the first one. So in other words, the acupuncture affected the visual cortex of the brain
faster than
conduction.
Wow. So actually your vision was slower than the passageway through the nerve or through the channel.
Yeah, through the energy of the chi.
Wow. So, Gil, you're giving me that look. Are we ready for our 9:30 break?
Yes.
Okay, everybody. Well, we will take a quick break, and we'll be back with Lillian Morgan and more acupuncture stories.
This portion of Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, we're back, and with me this morning is Lillian Morgan, and Lillian is an acupuncturist. In fact, she's my acupuncturist, and we've been sort of talking about some of the, I'm sure, misconceptions about acupuncture for some of the people out there and some of the wonders and benefits of that. So we've talked about a lot of different things, but I was wondering, Lil, is there a way to know how many treatments somebody may need when after you make an analysis and an evaluation?
Yeah, that's pretty tricky. One of the rules of thumbs that one of my teachers taught me long ago is for every year that you've had the problem, give us at least one or two treatments.
Oh, that's a good one.
So if you come to me with back pain that you've had for 10 years, you can expect it's going to take a while to turn it around, because the chi flow, it's like changing the flow of a river. And if you don't keep after it, it wants to go back to its old rut. So,
right.
You know, it's pretty hard to tell. With most people, if they've had something for several months or for a year or so, I usually say it's a good idea to give it a try of 5 or 6 treatments before you can really say, I tried it and it didn't,
yeah.
Or it did work for
yeah.
me.
That makes sense to me, because, like you said, if you've had something for a long time, and I know the same thing, you know, with chiropractic. You know, my chiropractor will say the same thing, you know, if this has been going on for you for 5 years, you know, versus something that just happened last week.
Yeah, that's true. There also, the effects of acupuncture are often subtle. And unless you're really tuned into your body, and not all of us are, unfortunately, mm-hmm. You may not notice the sort of subtle improvements that happen. So it takes several treatments before we can get something that's a big enough blast that you... And it doesn't always. Once in a while, we do get that miracle of like one treatment and you feel like super fabulous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just can't expect that every single time.
No, absolutely. And I know, depending on the situation, I know that has happened for Larry, you know, years ago. Like, in fact, that's what really sold him on it. Like, one of the first treatments, he was really having some pain issues and, you know, and it just turned around and it never came back.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he was, like, so amazed, you know, as the engineer husband I have, you know, to have something like this that he hadn't heard of. And he comes from a medical family, you know, both his father and his doctor, or his father and his brother are osteopathic doctors, you know. So this was very interesting for him as well. And, mm-hmm. and you never know. So
I have a brother who's a surgeon, too. And we joke sometimes. I mean, sometimes... He says he doesn't believe in acupuncture, and I say, well, I don't believe in surgery except as a last resort.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, my brother sometimes refers people to acupuncture for pain management, for example, because he's seen that it does work.
Right, right. And acupuncture, I like that, can be used in conjunction with things that you're doing with, you know, your regular doctor.
That's true. We're not opposed to Western medicine, and mostly they're not opposed to us anymore.
Right.
They used to be, but not so much now. And often it can be useful to work on several fronts at the same time.
Right. Right.
Particularly, you might be taking medication as a sort of emergency thing of you have this big symptom and you know, mm-hmm. you need help with it right now. If you do acupuncture at the same time, you might be able to get to the root of the problem and eventually be able to wean yourself off the medication.
Right. So it's good to be working in conjunction, you know, with your doctor as well and working at it from, you know, both points.
Yes. And I have several physicians who do send people to me for just that sort of thing. So that they can have the benefit of acupuncture along with the benefit of modern medicine, which has a lot of great benefits, really.
Right. So it's good to tell both sides you're working together rather than think, oh, I can't tell my doctor I'm seeing an acupuncturist, because, you know, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, that's good. And I know even down in York, I mean, you know, they've had the Mind-Body Center, and they have acupuncturists that are part of the WellSpan systems.
Yeah, we've been actually very lucky in York, in that because WellSpan started its Department of Body Mind Medicine, and they had an MD heading it up, mm-hmm. the doctors in town were receptive to the idea of acupuncture from when I started practicing. So
right,
it's been great to have that, and great to have that partnership, because I think the in-house acupuncturists are educating the docs some, which is useful
for
all of us who are doing
And I know even think I think one of the other things Larry used it for was he was seeing one of the big arthritis doctors down there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not what you call him, but
it's okay.
That's what you know. And he as well was recommending acupuncture.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah.
You know? So I love that, you know, that they work together. So anyway. And then let's talk a little bit about how you might feel afterwards. After you've had a treatment, because I know it's different for different people, and depending on what's going on.
Well, that's true. You know, everybody is really unique as far as not only their bodies and minds and spirits, but also, you know, where they are in their path right now. Very often, people feel relaxed after acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I would say probably at least 9 times out of 10, people feel relaxed. Sometimes people feel very, very tired. And in my opinion, that's because they are very, very tired, and they've been masking it from themselves, you know, because we have a lot of very industrious, I got to get all this work done all
right,
the time
type A
people. And, you know, they'll be, sometimes people will come into me and they'll be bragging that they get by on 4 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out they have 6 cups of coffee a day. And, you know, the truth is their body is tired. So when I do acupuncture on you, you will notice your body. It's inescapable. So if you're really, really tired and you have acupuncture, you will feel really, really tired. So we would say that that's a good thing, that you should be in touch with the reality of your mm-hmm. body, and that if your body is really, really tired, you should be rearranging your life so that you can have rest.
Right.
And if it's a temporary crisis, that's one thing. But if it's a way of life, you are making yourself sick by driving your body past its point of, you know, fatigue.
Yeah, there's only so much caffeine your body can take.
Well, in Chinese medicine, there's a concept, we call it jing, which is like your inherited strength. And in good health, the only thing your jing does is as your body makes qi out of the food you eat and the air you breathe, it just stamps it. This is the Jackie Qi, this is the Jackie Qi, and makes it your own. And that way it doesn't get used up. But if you're running on empty and you're jacking yourself up with caffeine to keep yourself going when mm-hmm. you're out of qi, you will burn up your jing, which leads to a shorter life.
Uh-oh, I'll have no more Jackie Jing.
You need your Jackie Jing.
I need that, I'll tell you. It's so true. So, and I like that everybody gets a different reaction. I know one time years ago, and it was before I was going to see you, I was seeing Lamar, and she wasn't there. And there was a Chinese gentleman who was also doing acupuncture there. And, you know, he said, well, you know, I'll do the treatment. So, but he did different treatments than Lamar did at the time. And he really pushed my body, you know, mm-hmm. with sort of like a heavier duty treatment. And I know that was so strong for me. It made me really tired. And I remember Lamar said, you know, just come to me because I know your body, because your body is different.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do believe in relationship-based care in acupuncture. Mm-hmm. In other words, the better I get to know you,
right,
the better I can help you to stay on a smooth and balanced path.
Right. And you know how my body has reacted.
Right.
You know, to the treatments. And bless his heart, I mean, he was just trying to be helpful, you
uh-huh.
know, but he didn't realize, you know, that I had some situations, you know, that needed to be treated, you know, a little differently.
Right, right.
So,
yeah.
So that is true, you know, find somebody that you're really comfortable with. But I do tell people, you know, you can try different acupuncturists until you find the one that you really connect to.
Absolutely. You know, I always feel bad if someone comes to me and they don't like me or whatever, they say, oh, acupuncture doesn't work for me. Well, you know, we don't do that with doctors. You know, you go to one doctor and you're not happy, you go to a different doctor. Right. And that's what you should do with an acupuncturist, too.
Absolutely, because everybody's different. And just like you said, I think a major part of the equation is that interview.
Yes.
And some people treat that interview differently, and they ask different questions. And so it's all part of the whole system. So I say the same thing to people. Try different people until you find the one that really seems to mesh with you.
Yeah, and that's great news, because if the client feels free to express themselves and to talk honestly about what's going on with them, you know, because they're comfortable with the acupuncturist, there's a much better chance of creating a partnership together that will work for the client's good health.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and personally, I tell that to people who come to me for spiritual readings as well. You know, find the person that you're comfortable with. Because regardless of whether it's me or somebody else, you know, you've got to feel comfortable with that person to get the most out of it.
Absolutely.
So, Lil, this was a far cry from your old days as an attorney.
Indeed. We didn't argue once.
No, we didn't argue once, and I'm sure you don't miss that.
Only once in a while when I hear about injustice, I'd like to get on my white charger and see if I could help.
But yes, not I'm too sure. Often. It's part of your nature to be a helper. So I love that not only did you do that from the attorney side of things, but now from the healing side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, you're job in this lifetime is obviously to serve others, and you do it so well.
Thank you so much.
So anyway, let me see. Is there anything that we haven't talked about with acupuncture that you think might be beneficial for people to know?
Wow. That's a broad question, and I can't think of a single answer to it.
We have a minute. Gail's telling us we have a minute.
I think there are lots of different modalities out there. And just like you say, find a practitioner that you're comfortable with. And then, you know, give something a fair try.
I'm glad that you said that, because don't just go once. And if you didn't connect or it didn't work for you, just write that off forever.
Yes. And listen to your body, you know. So often we treat our bodies as if it's just something to carry our more important heads around on. You know, it's all about our brains. But there are sensations in your body telling you, you know, how well you are, what needs attention, how tired you are, and you should listen to your body.
Yeah, good advice, Lil. Good advice. Okay. Well, everybody, we'll be right back after this message, and we'll wrap it up from there.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Okay, everybody. Well, that was interesting. And remember that comment I meant about you can go over somebody's body with a voltmeter? Well, Gil's just sitting here telling me that you actually can do that. You actually can get a reading using a voltmeter on people. So if you got voltmeters out there, that's a little test you can do on yourselves. And you can say, I learned that on Heart to Heart this morning. So anyway, that was a lot of fun, and I'm so glad to share with you some of this great information about acupuncture. So I hope if you've had some conditions, particularly if you haven't been successful with other avenues of healing, that you maybe seek out an acupuncturist and see if maybe you can get some help on that avenue as well. So coming up, this has just been a month of great events for me. And I've had classes in animal communication and classes in opening your intuition. And my last event for the month is coming up on Sunday, October 26th. And it's called Cooking with Holiday Spirit. And it's Holiday Survival Tips for Easy Entertaining. And this is always a fun one. My co-host for the event is Chef Donna Desfour of There's a Chef in My Kitchen. And many of you have seen her on Channel 43 TV. She does wonderful things there where she talks about different cooking events. And we're going to be spending the day actually creating some delicious food, all with one thing in mind: to get you through the holidays with ease and an effortless style you can call your own. So Donna always has great tips for us, and we have so much fun. And then during the day, we'll take time out, and I'll be doing a group reading for about 45 minutes to an hour, so everybody will get treated to that as well. So they'll have an opportunity to possibly hear from their loved ones on the other side, and it's the perfect time for that with all the holidays coming up. So if you're interested in joining us, we still have, I think, two spaces open, and you can give me a call at the office. The number is 717-968-5289. Okay, everybody, we'll see you next Tuesday when my guest will once again be an animal communicator, and we'll have fun there talking about what you can do with your animals over the holidays as well. So see you then.